or brought here by your blood. The barrier has been destroyed by your grace. We're free to come. By your grace, we're free to come.
So that Christ may dwell in my heart and in your hearts through faith until I, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, surpasses everything, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Because knowledge puffeth up sometimes. You got to be really careful with knowledge. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power of the works within us, me, I've always put that word me in there, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Book of Revelation chapter 1.
Yeah, Revelation chapter 1.
Monday night.
All right. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
This is the Father's house.
Yes, it is.
This is not the hog pen. Yeah, praise the Lord. There is peace in the house.
Yes.
Joy in the house.
Amen.
Healing in the house.
Yes.
Salvation in the house. Healing in the house, prosperity in the house, everything you need is in the house, everything you want is in the house. If it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Everything good is in the house.
Yes, it is.
Nothing bad in the house.
Amen.
Everything good is in the house. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you, God, for this assembly gathered here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this fellowship. We pray that you'll open our eyes, Lord, this morning, that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning,
yes,
in Jesus' name. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer, that we may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
All right. Praise the Lord. We're on the book of Acts. And I stopped at verse 54. Chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God.
Amen.
And said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon the Lord and saying, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.
Yes.
And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell on sleep.
Mm-hmm. Forgave them all.
Yes, he did. God help us. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Now, of course, we know that there must have been something for him to see that made him want to part with his money.
Exactly.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, something had to have happened when they laid hands on people that was quite remarkable and astounding. Because he said, I want to be able to do that.
Yeah, offered them money.
Yeah, offered to part with his money in order to have that ability. It always amazes me that folks who look at this and say, well, it doesn't say they spoke with tongues. Well, they surely did something.
Yeah.
They did something.
And this wasn't just a common man. This was person and sorcery and evil things.
Yeah.
He knew
yeah.
a different supernatural.
Yeah.
So he immediately saw that supernatural.
It was a supernatural. That's right. It was a supernatural manifestation. That is absolutely right.
Because yeah, he healed people too.
I don't know that he healed people.
Yeah,
it says he bewitched people. Yeah, Where does it say he healed people?
Yeah.
Where does it say Simon healed people?
A lot of times being the sorcerers could heal people. I know a guy right now who's a black belt in martial arts, probably Pastor Eve knows about this. He quit martial arts because of this, because his sensei performed some kind of ritual and this guy broke his leg, And the leg healed up right there in front of everybody. And he quit because of that.
Help us out, Sister Mary.
Through sorcery. It was through sorcery. He was amazed by all the healings and everything, and he didn't really care about that until the Holy Ghost came.
He gave them, I guess, a false healing in their
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, really, your body can heal itself.
The body can heal itself. What does that mean when Jesus said that Satan casts out Satan? How could his kingdom stand? How can Satan do the works of God?
I didn't say he didn't work of God. He can't do it.
Healing is a work of God.
Healing is a work of God.
Yeah, it is a work of God.
It is a work of God.
Well, I agree with that. But he can.
He probably got their mind to think different. And although they might not have been healed, they thought that it was doing something for them. Sometimes people play with people's minds.
Yeah.
If you're bewitching somebody,
yeah,
they might walk on that leg and not move, and they'll be healed eventually.
No, it was him. He quit. His name was Jerry Franks. He used to be the big
I want to introduce y'all to him.
All right.
They did. You know, I know the man wasn't lying to him. You know.
Now, where it is, I want to know that, you know, but if you got a scripture here that says that this Simon was healing people, I want you to show it to me, because it ain't in here. I mean, I didn't see it. I just read this, and it didn't say he was healing people.
I know
people.
That. I know.
Okay.
What I'm saying is he probably was, because he wasn't amazed at the healings. You know, I believe he was doing the same thing. And not until the Holy Ghost, that's whenever he freaked out.
Was that
the
Holy
Ghost? The word says that Simon wondered. He was amazed beholding the miracles which he did.
That would be a kind of a, you know, he amazement. Was working something, but yeah. What this man worked, what this evangelist worked, was greater than what
absolutely.
He was working on. Oh yeah, big time.
He gave people books, sorcery books, and he had their minds. He was into their minds. And but this man, not only into his mind, it was into his spirit and mind, spirit, soul, and body.
Yeah, that's true.
He saw something different.
That's for sure.
Spirit, soul.
He certainly did. He saw something that blew his mind. It blew his mind. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
All right. And then he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost."
Yes,
he saw some
power.
He
didn't ask for the other. He just wanted, he saw something very supernatural.
That's
power.
Right. He wanted the power to do what Philip was doing.
Mm-hmm. Like they said, he was into the supernatural.
Yeah.
The wrong supernatural.
He was, that's true.
So he knew, you know, that this
that
power
true.
Was much greater.
David Hogan down in Mexico and stuff, he's been down there for about 40 years, and he has started like 350 churches. He will tell you that those witch doctors down there heal people to a certain extent, okay? But they also do all kinds of other stuff. They'll take and cast spells on people, do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
He'll tell you that, because I believe the man, you know, I mean, he himself raised 7 people from the dead. Not counting his ministry, he's raised 600 people from the dead. From the dead, now. I'm not talking about...
All right, let's move along here. let's go on. Then he said, saying, "Give me this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God.
Whoa.
Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Now,
what if somebody was told that today?
Peter didn't pull any punches, did he?
No.
He told him the truth.
And wasn't trying to make any money off of
us. No, he wasn't.
Some of the... evangelists or preachers.
That's right.
Well, okay, let me show you how we do it.
Yeah. We don't want to run it. Peter didn't care whether he ran him off or not, but he
didn't care if he could get his money or not.
That's right. That's the truth. All right.
The Holy Ghost is speaking through on that right there.
Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, "Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet.
Wow. Jesus.
And then the Spirit saith unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Mm-hmm. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
Okay.
So it wasn't the prophet, it was Jesus.
Yep.
Amen.
And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" So somewhere along the line, in the process of Philip preaching Jesus to this man, he must have mentioned something about baptism.
He had to,
because this man said, "Well, all right, here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. All right. There are a lot of things in that chapter that we could talk about. Anybody have any questions or comments on any of that?
Does God take people like that today, where he'll move on 50 miles away, because that's how far he moved Philip?
Yeah.
It happened to David Hogan. He was being shot at by some terrorists down in right there on the border of Mexico and the other country now. I can't remember the name of it. And he was driving up the big ravine on his motorcycle and stuff, and he was being shot at. And it's wondering, the Holy Ghost had to keep the bullets from hitting him. He was going up that ravine, and he was going to go off on the cliff. He was prepared to die. He said, "I'm coming to see you, Lord." Well, God had other plans, and the motorcycle and him was just blink of an eye. He led. He all of a sudden he found himself 50 miles away from them, at where his wife was, and they were having a Holy Ghost party and stuff. And he just appeared in front of them on his motorcycle, and everybody just went crazy and freaked out, you know, praising Jesus.
Amen.
What would you do if you saw something like that?
Rejoice.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Rejoice. That's the truth. Rejoice.
Absolutely, man. Wow.
That's true. It is.
God has changed.
Of course, this is exactly what God was doing with Elijah. Mm-hmm. Elijah was taken. I mean, God was taking moving Elijah around.
Yes, sir.
One of the men, you know, that said, you know, when Elijah said, "Go, tell Ahab to come and meet me," he said, "No, I'm not going to do that, because as soon as I do, the Spirit of the Lord will take you up and move you somewhere, and you won't be here." And apparently it had been happening on a regular basis, because that's why he knew about it. How would he know that? Why would he think such a thing unless it had happened? So and Elijah said, "No, I guarantee you I will be here. I promise I will be here when he comes." So anyhow, but yeah, it has happened. It happened in the Bible. And it does still happen. It does still happen when it needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember one evangelist said he was, he said at night God took him to this village over in Africa somewhere. Mm-hmm. He was in the United States. And this witch doctor was beating his grandson. Mm-hmm. The witch doctor grandson, he was abusing him. And so this evangelist stopped him, you know, from doing it, and preached to the witch doctor and got him saved.
Amen.
And said that next day he found himself back at home with mud on his shoes and stuff. And he said some years later he was preaching somewhere, and this little boy from Africa had came to the United States. And he was up preaching. He said, he come home out, "That's that man that saved me. That's that man that saved me." So he got him up there and asked him, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I was over in Africa and my granddaddy was beating a witch doctor." And he brought the story back to him. He said, "I remember that." He said, you know, it just blew his mind that he was able to be transported into another country.
That's awesome, man.
That is powerful. There's no reason in the world why God doesn't operate that way. Does he? Still does. I'm sure he still does. And
he does it with purpose.
Yeah, he does it with. That's right. Whenever there's a purpose for it, that's right.
Jets, we can go
yeah.
Well, we don't all have kids.
You know. We don't all have kids.
That's the word prophecy, y'all. But you know, we have cars, and that day and time built them didn't have cars and stuff.
Oh, that's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. They had
their transportation was a little different than ours.
Amen.
But that's not to say that God still can't do it if he.
Oh, absolutely.
He probably had the time involved. He had to get him somewhere.
Yeah.
Take care of him. There's a time factor involved.
And it can still. I mean, no matter no matter what kind of a jet you got, there's times when you can't. You know, you got to be at a certain place. If God has need of you in a certain place at a certain time, I mean, he can get you there instantaneously. I mean,
and bring you back.
And bring you back. Praise the Lord. That's right. That's good. Praise the Lord. But this is some great stuff, and we do see this. God's still in the miracle business.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, I think I'm going to stop right there then, because the next chapter we start to talk about Saul's conversion.
Okay.
And there's a lot of good material in there.
Chapter, y'all. Please,
that's right. Yeah,
Brother
that's right.
Gordon, when you were talking, when you were reading about the eunuch and Philip, you know, some people's heart is just right to be saved or to go to another level. And God has to send somebody there to help them get there. You know, this man was just really ripe and ready. He was reading Isaiah and didn't understand it.
Well, you know, here's a strange thing. I mean, you know, he said he had been to Jerusalem to worship. He didn't know what he was doing. He was worshiping, but he didn't know what in the world he was doing.
Oh, man.
He had been there to worship. He was coming back. He was going home from He had been to Jerusalem to worship. What was he at? What kind of worship did he offer up? He didn't know anything about the Lord, really. But here's the thing, like you said, his heart was in a good place.
Amen.
He had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He knew not what.
He worshiped to the limit to where that's, he knew
that's,
how.
That is correct. And the Lord blessed. That's
they
right.
Worship to the limit that they know how.
That is true.
Because and the Spirit is true.
That's true. And we're going to see a few chapters later that Cornelius is the same situation.
Same way.
Same thing, yes.
Yes.
Yes, Cornelius
is
the same thing.
When you have that limit and you don't know what to do, when you ask God, He will put you higher. It's not that you're limited, because He will, as you seek Him, He'll think of a way for you to know how to worship.
Well, here's something else. Let's think about this a minute. This guy right here was apparently not a Jew.
No, he wasn't.
He was a Gentile. So here was your first Gentile right here.
Exactly.
It wasn't Cornelius and his household. This was your first Gentile that got saved right here.
Yep, first one.
This was the first Gentile.
And you know that church, the Ethiopian church, they traced it all the way back down to this guy right here, over in Ethiopia right now. That's where that church started, was because of this man right here.
What? Praise the Lord.
And just think about it for a while. He was taking some faith to his people.
That's true. That's right. Exactly.
Still worshiping the King.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Praise the Lord. All right. Glory to God.